serpents and scorpions on a daily. I stand and walk in authority that he gave me. I'm a reflection of God, so watch me be the light. It's time that we show the world that Jesus is alive. I'm a walk in his liberty, and it's really is the God kind of life. And my God don't play small, I'ma stand tall. It's time to dominate.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Teaching Thursdays. I'm your teacher for the evening, Pastor BJ Piggy, and I want to thank y'all so much from the bottom of my heart for joining us tonight. Listen, I want to encourage you guys real, real quick. Do you understand that Jesus is Lord? I don't care what's going on in the world. I don't care what's going on in the economy. I don't care what's going on in your job. I don't care what's going on in your personal life. Jesus is still Lord, and he will always be Lord. And so whenever you question your life, whenever you question the things that are going on in the world, the first thing you need to do to get answers is to turn to the one who is Lord. I'm not denying that those problems exist. I'm not denying that it may be chaos on your job. I'm not denying there may be rumors of wars. I'm not denying that there's inflation going on. I'm not denying that these are that some problems exist here and there. But I want you to always be able to turn to God. I want you to always be able to turn to Jesus. Why? Because he is Lord. Hallelujah. He is Lord. And if we keep that in the forefront of our thinking, no matter what happens on the earth, no matter what happens in our lives, we will have the proper foundation to get every answer that we need to navigate these times that we are living in. Are y'all listening to me? Jesus is Lord. And because of that, he's going to see you through on your job. Because Jesus is Lord, Jesus is going to make sure that you're protected. Because Jesus is Lord, he's going to make sure that you have the wisdom and the knowledge that is necessary. When you make sure that he's your Lord, when you ascribe and believe that he's your Lord, when you make sure that you go to him in these times, he will make sure that you will have everything that you need for the life that we are living. Hallelujah. And then in addition to that, we have leaders. We have people that have been anointed by God to be a sounding alarm for the things that we need also. See, even in the event that we don't go to him, he still has his prophets. He still has his people in the earth speaking what he needs spoken so that we can get the things that are necessary, so that we can get the things that are necessary for our lives. Glory to God. And I'm excited about that. And I'm hopeful about that. And I'm grateful for that, because, man, there are so many times where you think that you may even feel that God may not be paying attention. There's so many times where you may feel like you're at the end of your rope. There's so many times where people are just feeling like completely hopeless. And at the end of the day, there is somebody that God has commissioned and put in your path to help bring you out of that situation. If we believe that, if we wholeheartedly believe that. So I just want to encourage you guys tonight to remember that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord. And because he is Lord, when we seek him and when we ascribe to him being Lord, he will give everything that we need that is necessary for success in life, for success in the endeavors that we're finding ourselves up against, the challenges that we may be facing, the obstacles that we may be facing. There is nothing that God can't handle. And so because of that, we need to always remember that Jesus is Lord and seek him when those things arise. Amen. So let's have hope. Don't be in this world without hope, because Jesus has already won the race. Jesus has already made us victorious. All we have to do is step into what he's already declared for our lives. Amen. Give God some praise for that. Amen. Give God some praise for that, because I'm excited about that hope. I'm excited about always having Jesus as our champion. I'm always excited about the hope that we have in him, because he's done everything that he's going to do. The hope that we have in him that secures our victory, the hope that we have in him that's going to guarantee us success, the hope that we have in him grants us peace and joy on this earth. Glory to God. Because he lives, so do we also. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm excited about that, and I hope you are too. Listen, thank y'all so much for coming tonight. We appreciate you taking your time out on your Thursday evening to spend time around the Word of God with us. And we don't take it lightly. We don't take it for granted. If this is your first time joining us, we thank you so much, whether you're watching on live or whether you're watching on the replay. We appreciate you guys showing up tonight. We appreciate you guys for doing for making the time to listen to the Word of God tonight. Amen. So thank y'all so much for coming. And if you are a first time visitor, again, whether you're on live, whether you're watching live with us right now, whether you're watching us on the replay, we appreciate you letting us know that so that we can just acknowledge you and thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it. So all you got to do is just put in the comments and say, hey, this is my first time, or I enjoy what I'm hearing. And we will acknowledge and say thank you so much for joining us tonight. Amen. Next thing, if you haven't done it already, I'm going to go through the announcements real quick and then we're going to get right into it. Amen. If you haven't done it already, go ahead and think about somebody who you can think about sharing this broadcast with. Whether if you're on Facebook, if you just want to share it to your story, if you just want to share it to your page, however you want to go about sharing it. Listen, we are in so many different group chats. We're in so many different group applications that have different groups in there. Work, family, entertainment, friends, whatever. And so we share so many things. We share TikTok, we share Instagram posts, we share Facebook posts, we show all kinds of posts, we show everything. And so because we show everything, it's not foreign for us to be like, well, let me share this word. And so if you're on YouTube right now, you can just simply go to the share button and text it to somebody. Say, hey, you ought to join the conversation right here. We're live right now. Get in on this message right now. We're in week number 10, talking about the mystery of Christ. And tonight we're focusing in on the work of the believer, the responsibilities of the believer. So this is a message that I think that is very important that people need to hear. So if you can think for just a quick moment as I go through the announcements, who you think this message will be a blessing to, whoever the Lord brings up to you, go ahead and tag them. Go ahead and remind them. Go ahead and share it with them so that they can join the conversation. Amen. Like the broadcast, share the broadcast, heart it, do all those things. Engage with the broadcast because it helps us get the word out to more people than what we can do on our own. Amen. Next thing, if you haven't joined us on all the social media platforms, we encourage you to do so. We're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube. Join us. And if you've already joined us, go ahead and invite somebody else so that they can join with you as well. Amen. Next thing, if you like getting our messages via podcast, we release the podcast every Monday at 6 a.m. And so if you like downloading podcasts and listening to our content that way, feel free to do that. It's no charge to you. We just make that available to you guys so that if you like to get that platform, if you like to get the content via that platform, then you can do so. BJ Piggy Ministries is on every podcast platform. Every podcast platform there is, we are there. So if you like to do that, go ahead and subscribe to whichever one is your favorite, and you will start getting those messages every Monday, and go ahead and listen to it. We release it at the beginning of the week on Monday so that you can have a great understanding of how you can go about your week so that you can be encouraged to be successful in your week. Amen. Next thing we want to talk to you about is the daily encouragement emails. Listen, these go out every single day during the week, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. And so because they go out at 8 a.m., we encourage you to get in on it. Listen. And I forgot to talk about it. You know, joining our Facebook and joining our Instagram. I haven't talked about those confessions in the last couple of weeks. Listen, I encourage you to get on those confessions, man. Those confessions are life changing. When you make those confessions, the ones that we post on Facebook and Instagram, those are the ones that can absolutely change your life. When you start declaring those things out of your mouth and speaking those things and a lot of times typing those things, because typing helps remind you, typing helps refresh the thought in your mind so that you can understand. So that's why we say type this and confess this, because when you type it, you're making a decision to say, hey, I'm going to live this way. And when you make the declaration, out of your mouth, you're saying it out of your mouth and you're becoming what you're saying. Amen. You're becoming what you're saying. And so typing it as well as confessing it out of your mouth does those two things. It reminds you, it gets your mind in the right mind frame so that when you declare the word of God, you start becoming that word. And so if you don't neglect those confessions is basically what I'm trying to say. Don't neglect those confessions. We post those for your empowerment. We post those for your development. So go ahead and make sure you're getting in on those confessions. Amen. And going back to the daily encouragement emails, We give those emails out 8 o'clock, Monday through Friday. They are designed to equip you on a daily basis. That's why they're daily encouragement emails. We're trying to make the word available to you through every platform that we have available. We're trying to make the word available to you on every platform that we have available. And so those emails are not like what the confessions are. Everything is different. And so you may like getting the email, you may like the confessions, whatever the case may be. But I encourage you to get in on it all, because all of it is going to be for your betterment. All of it is going to be for your development, and it's going to make your life better. Amen. So if you would like to be a part of the Daily Encouragement community, all you got to do is send us your email address, and we will start. We will add you to the list tonight so that you will start receiving the emails as early as tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Amen. So if you would like to be a part of those Daily Encouragement emails, let us know. Send us your email address via direct message on any social media platform, or email us at bjpiggyministries@gmail.com, and we will get that email out to you. Amen. Next thing, if you guys would like to be a partner of this ministry, listen, we talk about this every single week. And a lot of times I don't really think we understand the power in partnership. I don't think we really understand the power of the group that you get connected to. I don't think we really understand the power of relationship and the power of partnership. See, let me give you a natural example real quick. When you become a partner with, the only one I can really think of really quickly is a credit card company. When you get a credit card or you get a bank account with a certain bank or institution, you become in partnership with them, and they lend to you based on different criteria. Now, praise God, the only criteria you need to get into the kingdom and be a part of BJ Piggy Ministries is just say, hey, I want to be involved. But when you get in partnership with a banking institution, they go based on different criteria to make sure that you qualify for the benefits that they want to give you. And so if you qualify for certain benefits, then you can get a certain amount on your credit card. You can even get a credit card limit raise. You can even get access to different kinds of products, investment tools, and things of that nature based on how you are. And so what I'm trying to get you to understand is people choose those different institutions based on the benefits. They choose the different institutions based on the benefits. And so basically what I'm trying to help you understand is there's a benefit to partnering with BJ Piggy Ministries. Now, a lot of you may not know it. A lot of you may not completely understand it. But when you say you want to be a partner with this ministry, you get involved with everything that this ministry is doing. You get involved with the anointing that is on the lives of the people of this ministry. You take part in that, and our collective anointings come together, and it produces a wonderful thing. You have access to victory in every area of life. You have access to increase. You have access to healing. You have access to all these different things that are flowing through this ministry because you decided to become a partner. Just like you have access to that credit limit when you sign on and they approve you for that card, you have access to that credit limit, whatever they give you, immediately when you say, I want to be a part of this ministry, you have access to everything that this ministry has to offer. And this ministry has a lot to offer. We offer what God gives us. We offer different things that can help benefit your natural lives. There's so many different things that this ministry has available at its disposal that you got access to, and you just may not know that. And so I feel it important, and it was just impressed upon me to help you understand that that's what being a partner means. Being a partner means I'm going to get connected and have access to everything that is flowing in BJ Piggy Ministries. If the ministry is increasing, then you also have access to that increase. Well, if the ministry has this anointing and flow and revelation flowing through it, you have access to that very same anointing. The wisdom to be successful in the world and go about and do business and be successful in the corporate world or whatever job that you may be pursuing, because that success and that anointing is on us, you also have access to it as well. So when you go into interviews, you don't have to be worried. You don't have to fret and be like, man, I don't know if I'm going to get the job. You know you're going to get the job. Why? Because of the word that's been put out through this ministry that helps you understand of God being with you. Because the word that goes out through this ministry to help you understand, you are equipped with the anointing. To see that and want to promote you. That's the benefits of being a partner with a ministry like this, because you have access to all those different things. And so again, I say, if there's something that you want to be a part of, if this is a ministry that you would like to get connected to because of that access and because God is calling you ultimately to do it, I encourage you tonight to don't hesitate. Go ahead and make the decision and say, hey, I want to be a part of it. I want to, God's been pulling on me to be a partner with this ministry. I may not have known fully what that means. And so real quick, I'm going to go over those things with you. Our responsibility is to pray for you. Our responsibility is to teach you what God has given us. And also our responsibility as a ministry is to give you what you need to be successful in life. That is our responsibility, our part of this relationship. Now, your part of the relationship includes praying for the ministry, number one. Number two, prayerfully consider about how you can give to this ministry. Number three, prayerfully consider about how you can assist the ministry in whatever gifts and talents that you bring to the table. Whatever God has anointed you with, bring it to the table so that the ministry can be developed and grow. And then also your calling may just be to share this broadcast whenever we come on live or whatever we post or do whatever virtually. It may just be your responsibility to share this and get other people involved. That's evangelism. So whatever part of that is your responsibility, let's step in here and let's go ahead and do it. Amen. Also, if you would like to have, if you need prayer for anything, if you have a prayer request, go ahead and let us know. Send us your prayer request via email or a direct message. We'll pray with you according to the word, and we will see what the word has to say concerning what your request is. Amen. And if you have a testimony based on what God has done in your life, we encourage you to go about and share that with us so that we can celebrate with you about what God has done in your life. Amen. So if you'd like to become a partner, if you have a prayer request, if you have a testimony, we'd love to hear it. Let's share that and let's get in here on this. Amen. All right. I think it's time for us to get into the words. If all those are the announcements, I believe those are all of my announcements. All right. So let's get into week number four of the mystery of Christ, the work of the believer. Let's get into the mystery of Christ, the work of the believer, part four. Now, let me slow down just a little bit and give a little summary of why we're still in this series. We started off by talking about understanding the importance of Christ. We started off by talking about what differentiates and what's the distinction of who Christ is in the earth so that we can be crystal clear on what the truth is, right? And when you start talking about truth, you begin to hear people talk about it with different definitions, because a lot of times people align truth to what they want rather than them align to what the truth is. Which as a believer, we should be aligning ourselves with the truth, not trying to have the truth conform to us. Let me give you an example. If we desire to do something that is not the word of God, it's not the truth's job to conform to what we want to do. It's our responsibility to change our desires and our ideas and do what the word is telling us to do. See, it's about us transforming into it rather than us trying to change that into what we want. And there's a lot of that going on nowadays. And the only way we can really dispel that or get that under control is by making sure we've talked about in weeks prior, where we talked about making sure we have the word and we have the spirit, because they both go hand in hand. And a lot of people disregard the word. A lot of people disregard the spirit. But I'm here to tell you that you can't have one without the other. And because you can't have one without the other, if you have one without the other, you won't have the whole truth, right? And so this series has been designed to help get us in the framework of understanding what the truth is. And the truth we are talking about is simply Jesus and the reality of who he is, because Jesus is not just another man. Jesus is not just another prophet. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our Lord and Savior. He is our Lord. And because he's our Lord, he's already taken care of some things. Hallelujah. We talked about that at the very beginning. And so we're going through this series because a lot of people are confused about who Christ is. A lot of people have this mystery, or they don't necessarily ascribe to Christ. And it's our responsibility as believers. And if you're not a believer, I pray that something is said or done to help you understand who Jesus is so that you can accept him into your life. But our responsibility as a believer is to make sure that we're letting that light shine. Our responsibility is making sure that we're doing the things necessary that is bringing reality to the gospel. And what I mean by bringing reality to the gospel, we're going to talk about that tonight because through these last 4 weeks, we talked about how us being just like Christ, right? And then we started talking about us being miracle workers and things like that. And then last week, we started talking about how we needed to be people of excellence and having being difference makers. And what was the other thing that we talked about? We talked about being difference makers, being in excellence, and making sure that we have character, right? And so with that being said, I mean, all of these different things, we need to make sure that we have them in our tool belt because we need to be able to pull them out whenever they're necessary and whenever we need them. Character is one of those things that you should always have in your tool belt. Character is just like drinking water. Water is something that is something you should be intaking all the time. That's the foundation for your body is mostly water. And because your body is mostly water, you need to always be replenishing it with that. Character is that same thing. And without that, you're not going to have the right foundation in your life. And so when we were talking about that last week, having character amongst your workplace and having character amongst the people you interact with, having that integrity, that's going to speak volumes in a world that particularly bases its actions off of greed and off of selfishness. But a person of character will be able to shine a different kind of light to show them that this is what I go by because my Lord and Savior desires for me to walk in this manner. And because I walk in this manner, then people can turn and look at me and see me living a different life and be turned to this rather than be turned to the wrong thing. And so the work of the believer is very paramount and is very important to what we're doing in this earth, because if we don't understand it, we're not properly showing the gospel for what it needs to be. We're not properly representing Christ and what he wants us to represent. And if we're not doing our part, it's going to be hard for the gospel and the glory to shine in the earth because we're turning that light off. When we make a decision to not have integrity, we turn that light off. I know I went on a rant last week about shopping carts. And part of that for me is because I used to work in that arena. In high school, I used to get the shopping carts. And so it used to frustrate me when people would just think that it was okay to not put it back where they got it from. Those little things like that turned me off to people to try to have me wonder like, man, the thing is just right there. Why can't you just run it over there? And I get sometimes there may be elderly people there and they can't walk it over. And I get that. But for the most part, I've seen people all the time who are well capable of doing it, just refuse to do that. And then you see those people going out there, going all over the place, trying to get baskets and buggies. And you run the risk of tearing up people's cars because they're not in the spot that they need to be. That's not having integrity. And you can turn people away based on things like that. That's why you need to have integrity in your business. That's why you need to have integrity in your work dealings and everything like that, because you can turn people off and because you can say one thing and walk a different thing out and people are going to go by your actions. That's why what we're talking about over these last couple of weeks is important. And it's going to be especially important with what we're talking about tonight, because I'm going to hone in on the lifestyles that we live, because the work of the believer starts with you. Because we can't get to church or ministry stuff if we're not even dealing with the stuff in our houses. You know, it was one of those things. I mean, it's one of those things with me. Like if I'm not doing well in my life, it's going to be difficult for me to share with you something that'll be beneficial to your life. There was a season in my life where I stopped ministering. Because I was going through a tough time in my life. And because I was going through a tough time and I needed to heal and I needed to grow and I needed to develop, I sat back because I didn't want to be spewing and talking about things from a hurt place. I didn't want to be spewing and talking about things from a place of dysfunction in my life. And so I had to allow the Lord to get me back together so that I can get back to doing what he's called me to do. Now, it didn't take me long, but the point and what I'm trying to make is, I could have easily misrepresented the gospel if I just desired to continue to push on and do the thing that he had called me to do when I did the thing that I was supposed to do, is step back, get healed so I can continue on. And so the point I'm making with that is that we have to be really, really careful that we are not misrepresenting the gospel. We have to be really careful that we're not putting things out there that don't represent the kingdom, because when we do, it can cause people to stumble. It can cause people to look at Christ a weird way. And so that is why how we live and who we are is very, very important. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So with that being said, and with that being the summary, I want to go ahead and go to our scripture, our foundation scripture, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, for this part of the series that we're in. And let's get into it and let's look at some scriptures and let's understand some more work of the believer. Amen. Chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "Live, flood you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people. And God wants everyone to know it." God wants everyone to know it. The mystery of Christ that is embedded within us, the Christ that is living within us, is a heavenly treasure chest of hope. That is why when we come on this broadcast and when we share messages through Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all of those things, we want to deliver hope so that you can understand that there is a place that you can turn to in the midst of all the chaos. And the world is needing that right now. The world needs places that they can turn to in the midst of all the crazy things that are going on. When gas prices go up, when rumors going around, when jobs are cutting back, all these different things, we need to hear things like people are still getting jobs, and not just getting jobs, better paying jobs, right? We need to hear about, even though inflation is going up, people are making more money now than they ever did before to take care of that inflation issue, right? You need to hear that kind of stuff, because if you don't, you will find yourself succumb to the lifestyle that think that you should be subdued and overcome by inflation when you really should be overcoming and outdoing inflation. But if nobody's telling you that, then all you can hear is, man, it's really hard out here. And again, I'm not denying that it's not hard for people, for some people. But what I'm saying is people need to hear that they don't have to stay that way. If there's no way for people to look and be like, man, it don't have to be that way for you, then what are we out here doing? We're all just going to be overcome by the craziness going on in the world. And that's not what God would have us to do. Why? Because the Christ that is in us is the expectation of glory. We just read that. And the Christ that is embedded in us is a heavenly treasure chest of hope. God wants us to be hope spreaders. Remember we talked about that? God wants us to be hope spreaders. We should be giving people the reality of the gospel and the reality of Jesus being Lord rather than all this foolishness that is going on in the world. So let's get to our three parts, and I'm going to get y'all up out of here tonight. The first thing we want to talk about tonight is God cares about how you live. God cares about how you live. God cares about how you treat people. God cares about how you work on a day in, day out basis. Remember the scriptures we talked about last week, and everything that you do, do it as unto the Lord, right? But we're going to look at another scripture tonight to really bring that in so that I can really crystallize for you that, man, it's important how you do your daily life. It's important how you treat people. It's important how you handle business and do a business deal and make sure it's not a shady business deal. It's important how you live, how you treat your body. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that because, you know, how you treat your body is one of those things. And let me go to this real quick. Let me talk about that real quick, how you treat your body. And the reason why I want to bring it up is because I had an interesting revelation that happened to me the other day when I was working out with my trainers at the gym that I go to. And basically, you know, let me give y'all this understanding, because this may wow some of y'all just like it wowed me. You know, the trainer, and he's a fit guy. He got his muscles, all this other stuff. He's gone through Olympias and all this other. I mean, he's been in different contests and all this other kind of stuff, right? But the point that he was making that day when we were working out was, a lot of times people focus on the intensity of the workout, like how much I'm sweating, making sure I'm doing the exercises right, making sure I'm lifting properly, all these different things. Like if I'm going to go work out, I'm going to go work out. And people like, man, I need to really focus since I'm here. I need to be intentional about it since I'm here. And so a lot of people focus a lot on just getting to working out, or they focus a lot on the workout itself and how important that is, because if I work out, then my muscles will build. If I work out, then my heart will pump properly because I'm doing cardio and things of that nature. And so I'm not just sitting on that. I'm making my body healthier by doing these physical things, right? But the point he was making to me and somebody else just in conversation while we were working out, he said, a lot of people think that that's the important part, but they need to have that exact same intensity with their rest. Professional athletes know this, but we people who don't work out or play sports or things of that nature all the time, we don't necessarily get that all the time. And the reason why we don't get it is because it's not as important for us, because we're not using our bodies like that. But he was talking to us about, if you're going to be as intense with these workouts, which we should be, we need to be just as intense with the recovery process and rest. Because if you don't recover properly and if you don't rest properly, the intense workouts that you're putting yourself through will ultimately be a detriment to you. Now, this is one of the things where being in the right room and having the right relationships come into play. Because if I wasn't going to the gym, I wouldn't have never got that revelation. Even though I can get that revelation supernaturally from God, God used him that day to help me understand how important rest is. He used him to help me understand how intense I should be thinking about my recovery and everything outside of the workout. Yes, we start paying attention to the things that we eat. Yeah, we start thinking about that when we're working out. But how often do we think about making sure we get the proper rest? How often do we think about making sure we're taking the proper supplements or things of that nature based on our body types to help our body recover based on the workouts that we're doing? How intentional are we about that? Or are we just focusing in on doing the workouts? And so the reason why I'm bringing this up is because God cares about how we treat our body. And when he said that day, I realized that I wasn't paying attention to that part of my body. So if I'm consistently working out 5 days a week intensely, like getting 900 to 1,000 calories in an hour workout, lifting weights and cardio, right? If I'm doing things like that, I need to be paying attention to my body when my body says you need to take a rest day right now. You don't need to go hard today because you need some recovery right now. But if all I'm focusing in on is the end goal, and I'm not focused in and I'm not as intentional or intense about my rest and recovery, then I may miss that cue and go and hurt my body in a way that I didn't need to hurt it if I would have paid attention to the other side of it. Does that make sense? And so that is why it's important who you're with. That's why it's important that you need to be in the places where God called you to be so that you can hear the things that you need to hear so that it can place you in the place that you need to be placed. Are you listening to me? And so he used it as an example to be like, man, if I didn't make it a point to go work out that day, I would have just had the mindset of, man, I need to go hard when I go to this workout so that I can get it and get done and then just get back to my life. Not realizing that I can be a detriment to my body if I'm not paying attention to the rest and recovery. Now, a lot of people may know that, some people may not know that, but that was a revelation for me, or it was something that I've known times past that was reiterated to me that I needed to put back into my toolbox. And that's what I'm saying to you tonight. A lot of this stuff we need to be putting back into our toolboxes, because I may not be saying something foreign to you, but it's you will realize it in a way to help you understand that the work of the believer, the things that we're talking about, are absolutely important. So God cares about how you treat people. God cares about how you work. God cares about how you handle your business. God cares about how you treat your body. And God cares about how you handle what he gives you. He cares about how you handle what he gives you, whether that's finances, whether that's things, whether that's people. He cares about the things that he gives you. So let's go look at this scripture in Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 8. Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 8, it says, no one lives to himself and no one dies to himself. While we live, we must live for our master, Jesus. And in death, we must bring honor to him. So dead or alive, we belong to our master. Okay? No one lives to himself and no one dies to himself. While we live, we must live for our master. And in death, we must bring honor to him. So dead or alive, we belong to our master. Now, what is that scripture saying? A lot of people can get triggered by that word master, but especially black people. But we need to understand when it's talking about master here, of course, a lot of people may know this, but I'm just saying it because a lot of people get triggered by that. But when it's talking about master, it's talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's talking about the one who we yield our lives to. And in that scripture, it's telling us that no one lives to themselves and no one dies to themselves. In other words, you're not living this life for you. You're living this life for him. Because it says, while we live, we must live for our master, Jesus. And in death, we must bring honor to him. Now, those are two different things. Let me explain. While you're living, you live based on how Christ lived. We talked about this in great detail. As Jesus is, so are we in the earth, right? So our desire is to live like he lived. Our desire is to imitate him while we live. And so if we do that, when we pass on and go to heaven and go to our eternal place, in death, we will be honored because when people look at our lives, they will see Christ. When people look at our lives, they will see Christ, whether we're living or whether we're in death. And that's the ultimate goal of the believer. This is why God cares about how you live. This is why God cares about how you treat people. This is why God cares about how you work. This is why God cares about how you handle your business. And this is why God cares about how you treat your body. This is also why God cares about the things that he gives you. Your giving, you're taking care of things and people, because even in death, and a lot of times we don't talk about this, but this is a good time to bring it up because I wasn't sure if I should bring it up, but I'm going to go ahead and bring it up now, because even in death, you can take care of people. And a lot of times, especially in the black community, we're coming into an understanding of it now, but the importance of having things like life insurance and the importance of having things in place when people pass on, so that it's not a burden to the people that are left behind, right? And so God cares about those kinds of things, because if those things are in place, when we pass on, it can be delegated and it can be given to the people that it's supposed to be given to. It doesn't have to go through probate. You don't have to worry about funeral costs. You don't have to worry about all these different things. Why? Because you've already prepared for it. God cares about those things. Why? Because that's also a way of how you can treat people. If you take out your insurance policy to make sure that all of your final things are taken care of, and you go get your will taken care of, and you go get your estate taken care of, all of those things will be in place so that in the event that you do pass on and you go on to glory, the people that are behind, they can handle your business the way it needs to be handled. And a lot of times we don't like talking about that, but we need to become more aware of that, and we need to be mindful of that, and we need to do that because God cares about those things. Why? Because we've seen scenarios and we've seen people who haven't had those things in place, and family fights break out and relationships get broken. Relationships get messed up because somebody thinks they have a right to that and the other person thinks they got a right to that, all because things weren't in place. And so we got to be mindful of that. I'm not going to harp on that too much, but this is why we're talking about this, because God cares about how we live. But more so, and that was the aspect of in death, we can honor him, but also while we're living. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? While we're living, God cares about how you treat people. God cares about your business dealings. God cares about how you work. You shouldn't be known as the person that's going to be lazy. You should be known for the person that's excellent. You should be known for the person that can always be counted on. So as you're living, God cares about that. Why? Because you're representing him. You don't just live for him. You don't live for yourself. You live for him. And so if you do that while you're living, when you die and when you die, it will honor him. Why? Because the people that love you and the people that are left behind, they will recognize the things that you've done and recognize the Christ in you and the blessing that you left behind for them, right? And so that's why we're talking about this. So when we're talking about the work of the believer, God cares about how you live. God cares about how you treat people. God cares about you not conquering your anger. God cares about you developing self-control. He cares about all these things. And we need to bring that to the forefront, because a lot of times our selfish tendencies can come in and be like, that don't really matter. When in reality, it does. Because God cares. God cares so much that he put it in his word so you can pay attention to it. God cares to impress upon somebody like myself to share it with you, to let you know that he cares, to bring light to it, because those things are really important. Where, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't ever be straightforward or honest with people. That's never what I'm saying. But a lot of times people don't bite their tongue. They're not slow to speak. And so they're quick to respond. They always got a comeback, and they don't know that the words that they're saying out of their mouth can be harmful. And on the flip side of that, you got the people that are just mute sometimes and don't say what's necessary for the conversation. And that hurts the conversation as well. So those two extremes have to both be worked on, because God cares about that. On the one hand, where you're not slow to speak, you need to be slow to speak so that you can be aware of what you're saying. And on the other end, if you're just a person that's passive, you need to learn how to communicate so people can understand where you're coming from. Both sides have something to work on, right? And so, but God cares about that, and God cares about how you live, because God cares about the representation that we're putting on in the earth. So God cares about how you treat people. God cares about how you work. God cares about how you handle business. God cares about how you treat your body. We talked about that. If you're going to be intense about your workout, be intense about your recovery, right? How you handle what he gives you. The people that he's giving you to take care of. The money that he's giving you. He cares about all those different things, right? He cares about that. And if you didn't know he cares about that, you should know tonight. You should know that he cares about everything that he gives you. Because everything that he gives you is a representation of him in the earth. And so he wants his reputation to be pristine, which it already is. But he wants us to walk like him in the earth. So according to the scripture in Romans 14, 7 and 8, and the version that we read it out of was the Passion Translation. It says, you don't live for yourself, but you live for God. Jeremiah 10, 23. You may want to write this down. Jeremiah 10, 23 also talks about how our life is not our own. Jeremiah 10, 23 talks about how our lives are not our own. Another thing that reiterates the point that we don't just live for ourselves, we live for Christ. Another thing that it brings to the table is our lives are not our own. So we just can't go about life aimlessly without consulting God and doing things through the lenses of Christ. Right. We got to have his perspective. We got to have his word on the situation so that we can make sure that we're doing things according to his word. Somebody may be saying right now, BJ, this is a lot of work. That's why we're talking about the work of the believer. You know, when you're in school, you know, we talk about how it's a lot of work, but sometimes it's necessary. A lot of times it's necessary. You talk about your job. You talk about how difficult it is to overcome this and overcome that. It's work. The only time you will find success before work is in the dictionary. The only time you will find success before work is in the dictionary. So we have to become people that become intentional about the things that we do. Intentional is one of those words that we've really tried to hone in on in this ministry to make sure that you're being purposeful about doing stuff, to make sure that you're making it a point to make sure you're doing something and doing it the right way. That's what intent means. That's what being intentional means. Your life is not your own, according to Jeremiah 10, 23. Everything we do must honor him. In life and in death, people should be able to glean the gospel, or they should be able to get the gospel from our lives. in life and in death, people should be able to get the gospel from our lives. They should be able to get the gospel from our lives. So number one, God cares how we live. Number two, God desires for you to be a living epistle. God desires for you to be a living epistle. BJ, what you talking about? Well, let's go look at the scripture and let's talk about it. The scripture we're going to look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, and we're going to look at it in the New Living Translation. It says, the only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Huh? Let's keep reading. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Okay. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. What work is he talking about? Everyone can read what's in your hearts based on your actions. Because it says they recognize it based on the good work that is among you. So it's talking about your lives being a letter written in our hearts. It's talking about the gospel that's written on the inside of our being because Christ is on the inside of us. But let me finish this and then talk about it. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ. Y'all see that? Clearly, you as a believer, you the believer are a letter from Christ showing the results of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. Question, what was written on the tablets back in the day, back in the Old Testament? The Ten Commandments, right? So that scripture says that the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses that were written down on those tablets, it's not talking about that the letter that he gave to Moses that had the Ten Commandments on it. That's not what he's talking about. It's not going to be written on tablets. It's going to be written on our hearts. And so basically what God is impregnating us with tonight and what God is talking to us about tonight, he's talking about our lives being living letters. It's talking about us being living examples of the word of God, because it talks about people will recognize this by the work that we do. People will recognize this by the work that we do. So basically, the Bible says that the life that you live will be the gospel that people read. Man, this is good to me. The life that you live will be the gospel that people read. This is why God cares about how you live. And this is why God is letting you know that your life is a living epistle. Your life is a living gospel. Your life is a living representation of who he is. Hallelujah. God desires for you to be a living epistle, for you to be a living letter, something that resembles the word of God. Your life should resemble the word. You should desire Christ to be shown and not you. Jesus was the word in the flesh. So you should be the word in the flesh. I'm going to read that. I'm going to say that one more time. Jesus was word in the flesh. So you should be word in the flesh. Oh, here we go again, talking about how I need to be like Christ. Well, what else do you think I'm going to be talking about? We've been talking about that for about 8 weeks now, 10 weeks. Your life should be a representation of the gospel of Christ. So if Christ was the word in the flesh, you should be the word in the flesh. BJ, what are you talking about? When the word says you should meditate on the word day and night so that you shall make your way prosperous. When you meditate on what God has said to you concerning your success in life and what he wants you to do, you've meditated on it so much that your life has become exactly what you've been meditating on. So when people ask you how you got to that spot, your response is because I meditated on what God said about me. I became what God said about me. So you should do what God is telling you as well. That will then bring glory to the Father. And now people can see Christ in you and not just you yourself. Are you listening to me? Jesus was word in the flesh, and so should you be. Your life should be an open book of Christ's goodness in your life. Your life should be an open book of Christ's goodness in your life. So when God desires for you to be a living epistle, it's talking about this again. So I'm gonna bring up this scripture. We're going to talk about the scripture one more time, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit more. 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3 the verses 2 and 3, it says, the only letter of recommendation we need is you ourselves. So when they were talking about the recommendation of the gospel, the recommendation of the kingdom, they basically were saying the only thing that we need to represent the kingdom is you yourselves. Or the only thing that is showing us that represents the kingdom is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. The way you're living, the way you go about doing things, that is the letter that is written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Everybody can recognize it because your actions most of the time speak louder than your words. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry. So in other words, when the word is given to you, it is a result of the ministry that you're getting from Christ. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. Y'all see that? So the word, this is why when we gave our foundation scripture and it talks about the living Christ that is on the inside of us, Christ that is embedded on the inside of us, that is the word that is embedded in our hearts. And so because the word is embedded in your heart through the preached word and through the lived word in your life can now be a representation of the gospel so that people can see it. Your life can be a representation of the kingdom so people can see it. So when we talk about the work of the believer, it's going to go into these last couple of things that I want to say about this. It says we need our life as it says that we need your life as a recommendation. Before I get to the last point, there's a couple other things I want to bring out of that scripture. That scripture is saying we need your life as a recommendation or a representation of the gospel of Christ. Our lives should recommend to other people that we're following the true and living God. Our lives should be a recommendation for somebody who doesn't know Christ to know Christ. Why is that, BJ? Because you do things differently. We do things according to what God is speaking to us to do. And because we do them that way, we're going to be difference makers. We're going to be hope spreaders. We're going to be gospel spreaders. Man, this is good to me. So when it says it should recommend, see, oftentimes people wonder, how can I get people to be saved? Well, how can people see that what I'm talking about and the things that I do, me going to church, me tithing, me all of this, how can people see the benefit of what I'm doing, your life? How can people see that what you're doing is beneficial and they should be doing it and it should be a recommendation for them, your life? When your life resembles the kingdom, it will be a recommendation for the lost. When your life recommends, when you live the life that God has called you to live, it will recommend to the people that don't know. It's sort of like this. When we all go to our favorite restaurants, when we go to our favorite stores, we recommend like, man, y'all need to go try that over there. And a lot of times people don't recognize it until they go eat it, because the truth is what we said has to line up with what they experience when they go there, right? In order for them to understand it. Well, this is why I'm trying to tell you, if your life is not a representation, if your finances are not a representation, if your character is not a representation, if you're not paying attention to those things, then how can you be recommending the gospel to somebody? Because they're going to think you're a farce. They're going to think that you're false. You want to tell somebody that God can heal and that God can deliver, but you're always in this sick place. Or you want to tell people that God can increase you, but you're always the one asking for a handout. See, there's nothing wrong. There's not a problem if you come up sick. There's not a problem if you need help, but this is what I'm saying. That shouldn't be the end result that you stay in. Everybody has had a sick day. Everybody has had struggles financially. But that doesn't mean we stay struggling financially. That doesn't mean we stay sick. And so if those things happen to us, we need to have testimonies of how we came up out of them. We need to have testimonies of how God did this and God did that so that it can be a recommendation to somebody else who is dealing with that exact same thing that they can come up out of it as well. So when we're talking about the mystery of Christ and the work of the believer and making the distinction, this is what we're talking about. Your life is going to be the thing that recommends whether somebody should try Jesus or not. Your life is going to be the thing that recommends to people whether they should try Jesus or not. So ask yourself this question. Is my life and everything attached to it representing Christ? And if it's not, that's okay. You just know you got something you got to work on. Ask yourself that question, because we should. This is something that we should be paying attention to on a daily basis. Did I talk to that person right? Did I hear Holy Spirit when he told me to do X, Y, and Z? When Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me to give that person $10, but I didn't want to give him $10 because I didn't feel like giving them $10, and I walked out instead of giving them the $10. Did I represent Christ? You know, I may have missed Holy Spirit that time, but I'm going to make sure that I'm going to be intentional about doing it right the next time. Right? So it's not a bad thing if you are currently sick, if you're currently struggling or whatever the case may be. It's not a bad thing. But the question is, are you going to believe to come out so that your life can be a recommendation for those to see Christ? Will your life be the recommendation? Will your life be a recommendation for those who are lost in Christ? And not only those who have never met Christ, I'm also talking about believers who have lost faith and who have lost hope that God will do certain things for them. Will your life be a recommendation of that? Are you listening to me? Will your life be a recommendation for those things that people have lost hope on? Not just the non-believers, but the believers as well, because there are believers that don't believe in certain things anymore because they haven't experienced it yet. So will your life be hope for those individuals as well so that they can receive what God would have for them to receive? Our lives are a written letter. Our lives are the word shown. Our lives are representative of Christ's work and his ministry. Our hearts will be what is shown to people. Our hearts are what will be what is shown to people. Now, last thing, and I'm going to get y'all up out of here. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Are y'all getting anything out of this tonight? Y'all getting anything out of this? Give God some hearts. Give God some likes. Put some comments in the comment section, all right? Last thing. And this is going to sting some people, but I've already kind of alluded to it, but this was a major point. The God most people will see is the God in you. The work of the believer. The God that most people will see will be the God that they see in you. Most people won't ever darken the doors of a church. Ain't that how we say it? Ain't that the phrase? A lot of people won't darken the doors of the church. A lot of people who darken the doors of the church get a wrong representation sometimes. But that doesn't negate that the church should be there. That doesn't negate the work of the believer. That doesn't negate any of that. It just lets us know that we all got work to do, right? But the God that most people will see is the God that's in you. People encounter God through you. I'm not sure if a lot of people recognize that or even know that, but people encounter God through you. A lot of people pray for people to have them have a God encounter, and they need to realize that the encounter that they need to experience is the representation or the recommendation of the gospel that's in your life. This is also where people get it twisted and start making people idols, but at the same time, God wants to use your life to be a beacon so that they can see God in you. Because the God that most people will ever see is the God that is represented in you. That is why God cares how you live, and that is why God wants you to be a living representation of his word. We can't take for granted these experiences. we can't take for granted these experiences. And because we can't take for granted these experiences, we need to be intentional and mindful of those. Your interaction with somebody can be the very thing that causes them to encounter God. Whew, I need that to sit for just a second. Your interaction with someone can be the very thing that causes them to encounter God. And again, I'm not just saying the people that are lost. I'm not talking about people who don't believe only. I am talking about them, but I'm not just talking about them. I'm also talking about the people who have lost hope in God being a healer. I'm also talking about the people who have lost hope that God will take care of them financially. I'm also talking about the people who have subjugated themselves to the world and think that they can only accept what the world has to offer. Your interaction with somebody can be the very thing that encounters God for somebody. Your life can be a recommendation to somebody that God still heals. Your life can be a recommendation that God can still increase them, regardless of what the economy is doing. Hallelujah. Your representation can be of the kingdom to a non-believer and a believer. So it's all inclusive. You just can't take this for granted. That's why I said we can't take these experiences for granted. You can think somebody is good and well off, but the recommendation and the representation of the gospel in you can be a light to somebody that you don't even know is being a light to. Most people connect with God through people's experiences, Most people connect with God through people experiences. That is why it is very important, especially for pastors and pastors and leaders and church people, to make sure that we're putting on what God would have us to put on, displaying what God would have us to display. Because a lot of times people get caught up in the things that we're doing, and if it's not properly representing Christ, they're going to get a wrong picture of God. And that doesn't just go for the pastors and the leaders. That goes for all the believers. But more so, I'm talking about the pastors right now, because and leaders and church people, because I've heard people say a lot of times the most mean people are the people that are in the church. And that shouldn't be. Why are the church people the most mean people? Why are they the one that's most judgmental? Why are they the ones that are so critical of everything? Why is that? Because they haven't been taught no different. They haven't been preached anything different. They've only been preached about get people to church and then we're going to have a good time and leave. So people don't talk about things like this sometimes. And we have to be mindful of this so that we cannot be representing Christ in that wrong way. We have to be mindful of that so that we're not representing Christ in the wrong way. So let's look at this last scripture. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, in the Good News Translation. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, in the Good News Translation. The God most people will see is the God in you. So that it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. This life that I live now, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. I'm going to read this one more time, because the point we're talking about is God. The God most people will see is the God in you. So that it is no longer I who live. You see that? So that it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. So I'm no longer living, but Christ is living in me. When I submit to Christ, he should be the one on the forefront. So if he's the one on the forefront, when I walk around, the God that people will see will be the God in me. This life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. So if I endeavor to put Christ in the forefront and he's embedded on the inside of me, the God that people will see will be the God that is in me. But if I push Christ down, listen to me, if I push Christ down and I decide to have somebody else go in front, my selfish ways, my bad attitude, my bad negative emotions, if I decide to put them in the forefront, then people are going to see that and see that as a representation of the kingdom. We no longer live for us, but it's Christ. Remember, I told y'all in our foundation scripture, it says Christ is the message. And we're going to talk about that some more next week when we start talking about the work of the church. But we no longer live for us, but Christ. Christ is the message. We live by faith in Jesus, and it should be seen. We live by faith in Jesus, and it should be seen. He gave his life for us, so we in turn love people for him. He gave his life for us, so we in turn love people for him. I think that's good. I think that's a good word right there. He gave his life for us, so we in turn love people for him. He gave his life for us, so we in turn love people for him. So listen, y'all. The three things that we talked about tonight. God desires how we live. I mean, God cares about how we live. Okay? God cares about how we live. God desires for us to be living epistles. God desires for us to be a living word. And God that most people will see will be the God in us. So the question that you have to answer tonight is, how much of God are you allowing to be released in your life? How much of God are we allowing to be released in our life? How much of God are we allowing to be released in our life? That's a question right there. So I want you guys to make a decision right now. I want you guys to make a decision to dedicate your life to the kingdom. And if you're bold enough to declare that for everybody that's still here, I want you to put in the comment section, say, I dedicate my life to the kingdom. I dedicate my life to the kingdom. If you're bold enough to declare that, I want you to put in the comment section, say, I dedicate my life to the kingdom. Because by you making this dedication and making this declaration, by typing it in the comment section, what you're doing is you're saying, I understand God cares about how I live, so I'm going to pay attention to that. I'm saying, I know God wants me to be a living word, so I'm going to pay attention to that. I know the God that people see will be the God in me. I'm going to pay attention to that. So if you are one of those people that can dedicate your life to this, I want you to make sure you're putting this in the comments section. I want y'all to light it up. I want y'all to light it up, man. I dedicate my life to the kingdom. I dedicate my life to the kingdom. And because I dedicate my life to the kingdom, I want to make sure that I live the way he wants me to live. I want to make sure that I live the word the way I'm supposed to live the word. I want to make sure that I'm intentional about the life that I live, because the God that people will see most times is the God that's in me. The God that I allow to be released in my life. How much of God, how much of Jesus are we allowing to be released in our lives? That's the question that you need to be, that's the question that you need to ponder tonight. Because when you allow Jesus to be released in your life, when you allow the word to be released in your life, you're going to make it a point. You're going to make it a point to live by the word. You're going to make it a point to be, you're going to make it a point to treat people right. You're going to make sure to have integrity. You're going to make a point to do all of these things. And if we do all of these things individually, the church will be taken care of. Because the church is nothing but a collection of little churches. The church building is nothing but a meeting place for where the church needs to be. Or, 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 it's nothing but a meeting place for where the church can go and congregate. So what we want to do is make sure that we're paying attention to these things. And because we pay attention to these things, we'll be making a mark for the kingdom in this earth that cannot be shattered, that cannot be torn down, that the enemy cannot come against, because Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Did y'all get anything out of that tonight? If you did, again, I say, give God some hearts, give God some likes. Think about somebody who you can share this message with. Let's see. Let your gift that you give today be a representation of him. And let your gift that you give today be representative of the relationship you have with him. We give based on relationship. The person that gets the most in my life is Christ first and then my wife, because I have relationship with them. And so my relationship to God and my giving to God is based on my relationship to him. And so if he's asking me for something, just like if my wife asked me for something, I'm going to do it because I'm invested in her. So if God is asking me to do something, I'm going to do it because I'm invested with him. Right. And so if God calls me to give $100 because I just received a word that changed my life, I'm going to do it. Why? Because of my relationship with him. And because of the love that I have for him. Giving should always be based on your relationship and love, not out of contrition, not out of forcefulness, not out of condemnation, none of those things. Your gift should always be given in love. So if you're giving today, if you want to give via Cash App, you can give via Cash App, $ BJPD Ministries, and make sure you put your email in the for section of Cash App so that we can email you back and let you know we received your message. I mean, received your gift of love. You got Tithely, you got Givelify. And you can text GIVE to 844-952-3394. And also, with Tithely and Givelify, you have the QR codes that we are putting on the screen now. If you want to give that way, all you have to do is scan this QR code, and it'll take you to Givelify, where you can give securely with a credit card, debit card, ACH transaction, however you want to do it, Apple Pay, Google Pay. And same thing with Tithely. You can give those exact same ways. All you have to do is scan the QR code. I love technology because some of y'all may be asking, how do I use the QR code? I've never used it. All you got to do is take your picture app on your phone, like you're getting ready to take a picture. If you're watching this on TV, if you're watching this on your phone, you can't do it. But if you're watching this on TV, all you got to do is take your phone, act like you're taking a picture of the QR code, that black code right there on the screen. And hover over that, and it will give you a link, and then you will tap that link, and it will take you right to where you need to give. All right. So if that's you today, I want to make sure that you have the opportunity to obey God. That's why we have all these giving platforms. It's not so that we can try to force people out of money. We make it convenient. We make it convenient for people to obey God is what we do. Just like when you go check out at the gas station, or when you check out at the grocery store, you have several opportunities and ways to pay. You can pay with cash. You can pay with a credit card. You can pay with a debit card. And now you can pay with your phone. You can pay with your watch. And some people in some areas of the world, they pay with their hands because they got chips in them. But, you know, that's another subject for another day. But either way, that's why we have so many ways to give, because it's a convenient way, because a lot of people like Cash App, a lot of people like Tithely, a lot of people like Givelify, because of those those are two of the main church giving platforms. And texting to give, a lot of people like doing it from their phone. So we created a phone number so that you can text give and give that way, just so it's easy for you guys to do it. Amen. So let your gift be given today in representation about your relationship with Him. You love God, so you obey what He tells you to do. You love God, so you obey what He tells you to do. Simple. And that's it. There's no forcefulness to give. There's no gimmicks. There's no nothing. You love God. You hear God. You obey God. You do what He tells you to do. And you're blessed because of it. Your present day obedience determines your future provision. What you do today sets up your future. So you want to harvest in the future? Make sure you're sowing when God tells you to sow. Make sure you're tithing. Make sure you're doing all of those things so that you position yourself for harvest. Amen. All right. If you got any questions, you can put them in the comment section. We'll go check out the comments after the live, or you can direct message the ministry. I pray this message was a blessing to you. Think about somebody who you can share this message with so that they can be, so it can be a blessing to them as well. Let's share the gospel this week. Let's love on people this week because we want to be a representation of God in the earth. All right. I love y'all. See y'all next week. Peace.
If you would like to connect with our ministry, please email us at bjpiggyministries@gmail.com or follow us at BJ Piggy Ministries on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or YouTube. This podcast is made possible by the support of friends and partners like you. If you'd like to show your financial support, you may do so via Cash App, Tithely.com, or Givelify.com by searching for BJ Piggy Ministries. Thank you.
I tread on serpents and scorpions on a daily. I stand and walk in authority that He gave me. I'm a reflection of God, so watch me be the light. It's time.